But I want to talk about this little passage in 1 Peter 5 and 7, and it should be on the screen, and it simply says this: casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Isn't that lovely? Just that simple little expression, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And there's really two parts to this. The first is what we need to do. Casting all your cares upon Him. Casting, or rolling, literally, I believe it means, to roll your burdens on the Lord, the Old Testament says. To casting all your cares, the things that weigh us down, the things that trouble us, the things that are difficult for us. Whatever the cares are, Jesus talked about the cares of the world and what we're to do with those. In the book of Matthew, he talked about the importance of understanding that the Heavenly Father cares for you. If He cares about the sparrow that falls to the ground, if He cares about the very hairs numbered on your head, if He cares about those things, then surely He cares about you. So in this little verse, what we have to do first is to cast all our cares upon Him. And then what God does, the second part, is what God does. He cares for us. That's why we can cast our cares upon Him, because He cares for us. And so I think it's a delightful little verse. It's kind of right in the middle of some other great teachings, but the fact that he cares for us and that He loves us so much. And when you care about someone, as God cares about us, you demonstrate that in your actions and your words. And I think sometimes we fall short maybe of how much we should express that. But we try to let people know that we care about them, our loved ones especially. And even when there's not a special occasion, like Valentine's Day, we need to show people that we care about them. And certainly God does that every single day. But I'm going to encourage everyone at the conclusion of this message, not here necessarily, but in the week to come, to purposely show someone you care about them. Now, maybe you can't do that with everyone, and that certainly doesn't have to be expensive, but show someone this week that you care. Maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend, a relative, maybe just a stranger you meet in the store. Let them know that you care about them. Show them in some way. And sometimes that's as simple as a smile. Wouldn't it be nice to have people smile again? How many know how important it is to smile, right? Amen. I was at Costco the other day. That's a dangerous place to go. And a lot of times when I'm in Costco, I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're focused, but I don't see a lot of smiles. And I guess they're intent on getting to those little food booths or whatever. I don't know what it is. But we were going through Costco the other day, and a total stranger, she walked by, she saw me, and maybe it's because she thought I was just a senior citizen or something, but she had the greatest smile. I mean, it's just infectious. And I couldn't wait to tell Cheryl that this lady's smile was just something. And she didn't say a word. She just smiled. And I know she wasn't making a pass at me because she was much too young for me. But she just smiled, and I thought, what a wonderful way to show you care. Amen? Just smile at someone. I mean, hopefully we see that in church. Hopefully you smile at people at church. I hope you do. But just out there in the world, people are desperate for people to care about them, to care that they're there and that they're serving you. And so, you know, smile at your grocery clerk, smile at the mail carrier, smile just at anyone you can, and let them know that you care this week. All right. So to start the message, that's the introduction. I want to go to the 142nd Psalm, and I want to approach this first of all in kind of a negative way, and I don't apologize for that because it's a reality. We cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. But in the 142nd Psalm, it's interesting because David felt like, when he wrote this, that nobody cared. And I think sometimes we might feel that same way. I think sometimes we might feel like no one cares. And in this 142nd Psalm, and maybe you have this in the heading, it says that it's a contemplation of David. It's a prayer when he was in the cave. And no doubt the cave is referring to 1 Samuel 22 when he was in the cave of Adullam. And he was hiding. And he was being chased by his enemies. And so in verse 3, look at verse 3 and then at the end of verse 4, kind of splitting these up. Verse 3 says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, first part. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. So David is in the cave. He's cried out to the Lord. But there's something about his spirit. His spirit is overwhelmed. Maybe he's overwhelmed by the fact that he could be killed at any moment. Maybe he feels overwhelmed at the fact that everyone seems to have turned against him. Whatever it is, as he sits in this cave, he says in verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. And then I want to read the last line of verse 4, because I believe that's the result of what he said. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, the last line of verse 4 says, no one cares for my soul. So I felt overwhelmed in this cave. And I come to the conclusion that no one cares for my soul. And I think sometimes that happens with us. When we're overwhelmed with something, when we're troubled, when we have problems or difficulties, if we're not careful, we can reach the place where David was, where we say, nobody cares. No one cares. And maybe it's because no one said anything or no one expressed their, excuse me, their care for us or their love for us for whatever reason. The fact remains we feel that way. My spirit is overwhelmed. There's so much going on. And my conclusion is that no one really cares for me, which is not true. But when we are overwhelmed, we can feel like no one cares. And there's a danger in that because we begin to judge people based on how we feel. We begin to judge people. Well, if they really cared, they would have known I was going through something. Well, did you tell them? Did I tell them I was going through something? Well, no, it's none of their business. But I still want them to care. Come on, right? I mean, how many know that happens sometimes, all right? And so we fall into this little trap, and I call it the feeling trap. The feeling trap. As a matter of fact, David calls it a prison. Look at verse 7. And I know upstairs the folks are jumping all over to kind of get the scripture up here. But in verse 7, he says the first line, bring my soul out of prison. What was the prison? I think the prison was the fact that he was feeling like nobody cared because he was overwhelmed. He was feeling like no one cared. I call it the prison trap. We have to be very careful, don't we, on how we react to our feelings. Because our feelings can be so deceptive. We can feel like no one cares about us. We can feel like no one loves us. We can feel like no one is interested in us. And those feelings, most of the time, are wrong. People do love us. They do care for us. They do pray for us. But sometimes we can feel as if they don't. And you know, and I'll confess this because I am one that has to battle with this. The enemy really likes to play on our feelings. He likes to play on our feelings. The enemy knows how I feel. He knows how I feel. He knows when I'm having a bad day or a good day. And he loves to play on those feelings. And if he knows that I'm feeling like nobody cares, that's what he's going to try to penetrate. That's what he's going to try to emphasize. And he'll bring these thoughts to your mind. Yeah, Cheryl doesn't even care because she hasn't done this or she hasn't done that. Or your kids don't care because they haven't called you or texted you or they ignored you at church. Or he'll say, the church doesn't care because you preached an incredible message and not one person told you thank you. And so what happens is that these feelings, we get into this feeling trap and we start having a pity party. Now I know none of you have ever had a pity party. That's first service, folks. We don't have a first service. None of us have ever had a pity party. But the enemy, he likes to do those kind of things when we fall into the feeling trap. So we have to be very careful. Our feelings are important, but we can't always go by our feelings. How many know the Bible says the just shall live by faith? And if we have a choice between faith and feeling, we have to choose faith. Amen? And so when we begin to get the feeling that nobody cares, when we begin to get the feeling nobody loves us, when we begin to get the feeling that no one's interested in us, we need to step away from feeling and go into faith and say, no, I have great faith to know, first of all and foremost, God cares about me. God cares about me. And my family really does care about me. And my friends really do care about me. And my neighbors care about me. So get away from the feeling trap and walk by faith. Like Habakkuk said, the just shall live by faith. And so David was in this prison. And it is a prison. If we stay there long enough, it will bind us with chains. And we'll begin to have a sour attitude toward people that are close to us. And we can't do that. It's very dangerous. So when we're overwhelmed, sometimes we feel like no one cares. But look what David did. Look what David did in verse 5. I cried out to you, O Lord. I cried out to you. The one thing David did know is that when he was feeling overwhelmed, when he felt like no one cared, he knew he had to call out on the Lord. We call that prayer. He cried out to the Lord, and what he said is, you're my refuge. You're my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry. I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my prosecutors. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name, for you shall deal bountifully with me. He prayed his way out of the feeling trap. And really, folks, that's what we have to do. We can pray our way out of the feeling trap. When we begin to feel all these negative things, then we need to pray and ask the Lord to help us. And I think this is true about every generation. Think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment. Now, when we start with children, you know, children, they really do a lot of feeling stuff, right? They're really in tune with their feelings. But it's so quick. It's so quick. This was true with my children. It's been true with my grandchildren. And I'm a pushover when it comes to grandpa. My grandkids can have just about anything they want. I've learned long enough now, my kids, they won't get everything they want. But my grandkids, and now my great-grandkids, I've rewritten my will several times. No, I'm kidding. But I'm a pushover. And so these grandkids, you know, I'll use my younger ones. My older ones, you know, they're more mature now. But I'd give my life for my grandkids and my kids. But my older ones, you know, it's a kind of a different scenario. They're all, you know, married and have children, etc. But my younger ones, and when the older ones were young, same way. They have this look. And when you say no, they have this look. and it starts to melt me. Now, I know some of you men out there are going, come on, cowboy up, be tough, resist that. Yeah, I can't. So Cheryl, the other day, I think it was Adeline, and she was at the house, and I told her no. And here it comes, the feelings, the lip, the tears. And Cheryl looked at me and said, when Cheryl gives you the finger, you better listen. She said, don't do that. Don't give in. And she says, redirect. And I said, what? And Adeline's down here. Oh, and Cheryl says, redirect. I said, what's that? That's not a term I've heard. And so we took care of little Adeline. I said, what do you mean, redirect? Cheryl said, when you say no, you got to redirect them to something else. It gets their mind off of it, and it's quick. They go from pouting to smiling. Hey, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. And so a little later in the day, it happened again. And I almost gave in, and Cheryl did it again. Gave me the finger and said, redirect. The jury's still out on whether I'm a good redirector or not, okay? But my point is, these little children, redirect them, and their feelings change, just like that, bang, and it's done. 30 seconds, they're upset, and then for the rest of the day, they're fine. And then take adolescents. Young people that are adolescent, a lot of them are upstairs right now. Sharina, do adolescents deal with feelings? Yes, Sharina's an expert on adolescents. That's kind of her major. She understands about adolescents. And they can, you know, their feelings are up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And it's kind of like when they say no, they mean yes. And when they say yes, they mean no. And when they're mad, they're really happy. I don't understand. I skipped adolescence. I'm kidding. And then you take teenagers and their feelings. And that can be devastating. And the sad thing about teenagers right now is we have a real epidemic of teenage suicide. And so much of it is based on their feelings. Because they didn't get the likes they wanted on social media. Or they were bullied. And those are serious things. And I just want to take a moment to say this, parents, you need to be aware of what your young people are seeing and viewing and watching and dealing with. It is critical that you be involved as parents to help them through some of those rough feelings. Amen? Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. Now, you may say, it's hard. I don't know how to do that. Well, confer with some other parents. Talk to Sharina and Eddie. They've been through this and experienced this with youth in our church. Talk to some teachers that deal with them. But it's critical that we help them through their feelings. And then you jump to the young adults and the feelings they have. And those feelings are getting more mature. But then they begin to feel like at some point you young adults will wonder if the person you married cares about you. And if you're not careful, you can have these feelings that they don't care. And the solution in the world today is just cut off the relationship. But don't do that. Don't go by those feelings. And then I want to skip over that to the senior adults. And there's a number of us here. And you'd think by the time you reach our age, we got all this perfected. But I'm telling you, we don't have it all together. Because even people in their senior adult years can go by their feelings rather than faith and begin to feel like nobody cares and that no one loves me and your kids don't need you and your grandkids don't need you. Be careful of those kind of feelings because those feelings are not true. And what I've learned now that I am a senior adult is just like I've had to guard my feelings and live by faith all along my life, I got to do it now, maybe even more than ever. Because I do forget a few things once in a while. And I'm not quite as quick as I used to be. Although I got to tell you, I ran something the other day, and I think it was Logan looked at me and went, "Oh my goodness, you're fast, Grandpa." And I thought to myself, "You ain't seen nothing yet." And then I took some ibuprofen to help take care of the problem. But honestly, senior adults, don't get caught in that feeling trap, because the enemy will convince you you're worthless and your life isn't worth living anymore. You might as well just lay down and die. That is not the truth. You're important. You're needed. God cares about you. The church cares about you. Your family cares about you. And you are important to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Someone does care. We might not feel as if they do, but again, don't fall into that feeling trap or that prison that David calls it. People do care. Maybe it's the spouse that you don't think cares. They do care. Maybe they don't express it in the way that you want them to, but give them a little slack. Understand that they're learning too. A child cares about you, and you're important to a child. A friend, a church friend, a neighbor, like I said, people do care. If you start looking around and saying, "Who cares about me?" and are really objective, you will discover a number of people who really do care about you. But if all else fails, remember this, and it's my final point, God cares. God cares. So if it is true that nobody else cares, and I don't think it is, if it is true that all your family don't care about you, and maybe in rare cases that's the case, and if it's true that there's no neighbor or friend or anyone in existence that cares about you, understand this, God does. God cares. You can cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Amen? He cares for you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And He hasn't given up on you. He loves you. And that love is extended throughout your life and in the life to come. God cares. And if God cares, even if nobody else does, that's enough to get up in the morning and say, "Thank you, Jesus. God cares." Amen. 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 Come on. Amen. God cares. That's why we can cast our cares upon Him, because He cares for us. I want to conclude with one scripture, John chapter 6, verse 37. It's a wonderful scripture. In John chapter 6, verse 37, the words of Jesus, He says, "And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." He who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. If we can cast our cares upon Him, it is great to know that He will never cast us out. No matter what you bring to Him, no matter how big it is, no matter how complicated, no matter how many times you've brought it, He will not cast you out. You cast all your burdens on Him, and He'll never reach a place where He says, "That's enough, I can't handle anymore." No. He can handle anything you bring to Him, right? Any questions. And He can handle it no matter what attitude you bring it to Him. No matter what attitude you bring to Him. Pick up your toys. Okay. Well, at least they picked them up. No, you can be mad at God and cast your cares upon Him. You can say, "Okay, here it is, and I'm still mad at you." God's big enough to handle that. He does not cast you out. Or you can cast something upon Him and say, "I really don't think it's going to help." He is not fazed by your unbelief. He will not cast you out. He loves you. And He loves me. And He will not cast us out, because He is the God who cares for us. And so we can cast our cares upon Him. And how we do that? We pray. We bring our cares to the Lord in prayer. And we just tell God how we feel. We don't live by those feelings, but tell him how you feel. Tell him if you feel like no one cares about you. And the Holy Spirit will speak peace to you, and he'll speak to you and maybe show you in a way that you can understand and I can understand that people really do care. See, don't give in to the enemy. Don't give in to that feeling trap, that prison that says nobody cares. No, somebody does care about you. But above all, God cares. He cares what you're going through. And he's going to help you and give you the strength that you need to walk through it. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Bow our heads for a moment. I want to pray, but I really feel like right now there is a senior adult, and I'm not going to call anyone out. I don't have anyone in particular. But I feel like there's a senior adult here today that feels so much like I have described, that you feel as if nobody cares. And you're going through a lot right now. And even though there have been people who have reached out to you, the enemy just keeps pummeling you with this false idea that nobody cares about you. I want you to know right now that God sees that. And God wants to speak to you. And he wants to say to you, people do care. The problem you're going through has put a curtain between you and the people that care. You haven't done it yourself, but the enemy has put it there. And God says, I'm going to lift that curtain. I want to lift that curtain so you can really see that people do care. Don't hold people to a high standard, but just trust that you're going to begin to see that people do care about you, and you are valuable, and you're important to God. Even with some of the deficiencies that you may have right now in your life, in your mind, whatever it is, you are important, and God loves you very much. I don't know who you are today, but whoever that is, I want you to just take hold of that promise from the Lord. That little bitty verse, 1 Peter 5:7, is for you. Cast your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. Would all of you pray with me right now? You don't know who that person is. Maybe you do. Pray with me for that person or persons right now that's hearing this. Lord, in Jesus' name, whoever that is, whatever senior adult right now is feeling worthless and feeling like they don't, that no one cares about them, that's feeling like that, like they are just excess baggage. Lord, I come against those feelings in Jesus' name. And I pray that they would begin to feel the worth that God has put in them. They are a world of valuable experience. They are someone who God has put here for a reason, and they are useful to him. I pray for them right now in Jesus' name that the curtain would be lifted and that they could really see that people do care. And Lord, I just pray over them in Jesus' name that the enemy would not have any foothold in their life right now. I free them from the prison of the feeling trap. I free them right now in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help them to walk out of this place today with head lifted higher than they came in. They are valuable to God, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Would you join with me and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Lord, we pray for our youth today. We pray for our adolescents and our teenagers, Lord, who, God, are so often victims of this feeling trap. And I pray a covering over them in Jesus' name, that any thought, any hint, anything at all on social media that even would indicate the answer is to take their life, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, God, I put the blood covering of Jesus over them, Lord. I pray the blood covering of Jesus over them, over their minds, Lord, over who they are, God, and help them to see beyond all these other things and to see a God who loves them and cares for them, and to see parents and grandparents that care for them, and teachers, educators who love them as well. And Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name over them. Pray that covering, Lord, upon the young people in our church and in our community, Lord. I just pray for them right now, and I thank you, God, that you would just put a stop to some of the things that are happening right now that are causing them confusion, Lord, and help them to see who they are in God, that He has created them, who they are, He loves them, and that they have a great future ahead of them in Jesus' name right now. Hallelujah. Believe that with me. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, thank you this morning that we've been able to be together in this place, in this house of worship. Thank you for the time we've had. May each one of us take with us 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. God, thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank Him for His word today. Amen. Thank Him for His word today. Amen. All right, God bless you. Thanks for coming, and we appreciate and we love you all. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you, if not before, we'll see you next Sunday.